Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on this episode, we're going to be listening in on a conversation had between Andy Orick, the COO at OLS, and Chris Storbeck, the EVP of Sales and Marketing at OLS, and Tim Sloan, the VP of Payments Innovation Advisory Service at Mercator Advisory Group, as they cover topics such as what is a switch provider and what is their role within the payments industry, the intersection of retail and financial services, money services at the POS, Asian mobile apps, ACH for merchants, and also they're going to be taking a behind-the-scenes look at the benefits of a switch provider. So there's a lot to unpack in this episode. So without any further delay, let's start the show.
So a switch sits above the point of sale, and it typically choreographs the interaction that takes place between the intelligent cash register and above it in the cloud, the service providers that would include the acquirer or perhaps a prepaid processor, a biller, or a remittance provider. So the switch assures that the required process for every transaction type is completed and that each transaction is likely to require a different process, since the process for buying a gift card is significantly different than paying a bill or reloading a GPR prepaid product. As the brains of the transaction, a switch can also add value, such as collecting email addresses to send e-receipts or perhaps applying loyalty points or discounts for the merchant. So the switch is a critical component within the merchant's environment that manages the way the point of sale integrates to the customer and completes the transaction with a range of service providers. So given that important role of the switch, OLS enables merchants to offer a number of transaction types that consumers might traditionally consider financial services, traditionally conducted at a bank or a money services business, including bill pay, issuing and reloading general purpose reloadable cards, check cashing, and the like. So perhaps you guys could talk to me a bit about the intersection of retail and financial services as you see it.
Yeah, so Tim, I think that as we look at the marketplace and how it's starting to shift, you know, you've got consumers that are inside merchant retail stores today. It's a convenient place. And more consumers are looking for, you know, new services and ease to be able to be provided at those retail locations. So as we look at this and work with our merchants, is that there's a value prop for the consumer, because it's an easier place for a transaction to take place, because they're there, they're doing business, they're conducting either their shopping, they may be check cashing, bill paying. And so more of those services that are in those locations are convenient for the consumer. And then on top of that, for the merchant, it's additional, you know, door swings and opportunities to support the consumer and have them in their stores, which, you know, typically will generate additional revenue and sales. And then for the financial institution, there's a benefit because if those services are not having to be provided at an outlet that the bank operates, there's a cost savings for them in that regard. So we're seeing more and more these services moved into, you know, predominantly into your mass merchant channel, into your grocery channels, where there's a lot of frequency of shopping. So a lot of value being provided. And I think, you know, from our standpoint, we help enable those services. I think, as you mentioned on the switch, switch is basically, you know, a traffic cop, so we can help route those transactions, be it to a processor, be it to a bill payer, to whoever it may be, and make it easier for the merchant to add those services, bring them to the marketplace faster, and improve on how the process is actually done. So,
yeah, I mean, and on top of that, you know, I think one of the advantages that we bring, or that we have, I think, historically, is just the fact that by nature and by heritage, we've had to do a number of things for our customers. I think, you know, you get a lot of traditional products out there that are kind of hooked squarely into the whole traditional debit, credit, EBT, FSA type of pull. And, you know, we certainly do that. And that was our heritage long ago. But InComm comes from a different place, just as a parent company. I mean, they were always in kind of more of the retail doing card activation and then taking card activation and extending it to be a vehicle to do general purpose reloadable, and then kind of going one step forward and doing digital delivery. You know, and Incom has now folded in a number of other services, like they have a product control division, for example. They have a division called Agent Services that does on-the-spot activation of wireless services, coverage through, you know, the Verizons, et cetera. And these are all things that customers are looking for at the point of sale in, you know, to be able to do in one place. And a lot of that data is very large and non-standard. That's what we've had to do, is kind of adapt to all of that and bring that all together.
Yeah, thank you for that. And that range of very different transaction types is also shifting where money services business takes place. We've noticed that merchants that have traditionally offered money services businesses done at a special service desk are starting to transition that to in-lane directly at the point of sale. So from your perspective, what's the impact on merchants and consumers as they integrate those money services capabilities, reloading and the like, over to the in-lane experience?
You know, we've had things like reloads. We've had really good success with check cashing. Of course, we've had some really good success with that. Actually, it's ECA, and we've been able to do that in a way that has been very seamless. It's not 100%. I mean, some of the we had a project once where we took money transfer at Western Union and integrated that in the POS. Maybe not the best fit for everybody. I mean, that's a bit complicated. But you know, if somebody's looking to do that, I mean, that's out there as well.
I think the other thing too is digital becomes more and more an impact. You've got consumers that are working inside an app or inside a merchant's app, and how, you know, the merchants are working to draw more and more of those services within their apps, you know, to make this an easier experience for the consumer, seamless at the point of sale. So I think what we're seeing is more and more of that stuff is how do we leverage the app, the merchant app or another app, to make this an easier process for all parties involved. You know, I think typically, and this is what we really focus on and where we believe we excel, is the hardest part of all this is the technology in the back end for the merchant and at the point of sale. How do we do as much of that heavy lifting for the merchant so they have limited amounts of work to do? That's really our sweet spot. Let us do the lifting, bring it to you, and make it seamless as possible at the point of sale. So those are some of the things that we're seeing starting to take place. You know, you've got a lot of marketing departments that are driving more and more desire. Marketing plays a very big role in the payment space today because you see new payment types coming to market. You need these new solutions, and you typically have the marketing department saying, "I want this." You've got a treasury department or another part of the company that says, "Yeah, we'd like it as well." And then you have the IT group that's saying, "I'm swamped with the next release." Those types of things. So how do we help? How do we help offload as much of that work as possible? And that's again, I think where we've really been able to help merchants out.
Yeah, so that's fascinating. You know, Mercator Research on the merchant acquiring side and merchant side, run by Ray Pucci, has identified those mobile apps as a critical component to extending the merchant's presence into the consumer's life and to drive that digital life further and further. And it's not a traditional role for a switch, I think, to be involved in that aspect of it. But the other area that we've identified at Mercator is the increasing interest in decoupled debit solutions that help the merchant start to shift interchange off of their product set and instead drive direct debit directly to the checking account. Given that, and it's growing popularity, perhaps you could give some examples of how OLS can help the merchant be able to move into that type of an environment?
I think that that's another good point, Tim. I feel like we've gone back to, a little bit back to the past into the future with the whole decoupled debit. I mean, this has been around for quite a while. But again, we've seen a big, you know, resurgence in this space. And you know, typically, for some of the reasons you cited, is, you know, A, the merchants are looking at, how do I reduce my cost of acceptance? How do I motivate and reward my consumer, you know, with loyalty points, those types of things to get them back in? And how do I also control my data better? And so, you know, that's really what's driving, I think, a lot of you know, re-awareness of this. You're seeing a lot of it in the fuel space. There's several merchants out there today. Some have been in the space for quite a while and been very successful. And so, you know, again, a lot of this is starting to be driven more in the app side of the house, is how do I, you know, incorporate this into the app? You know, from our standpoint, being able to bring those solutions, you know, working with partners and doing the back office or the heavy lifting and the IT side, bring those pieces, those components together to make this happen is where we excel. I think, you know, and as you look at the decoupled debit and ACH solutions, those types of things, I think the other piece is, what does this open the door for new opportunities? We look at this as we move forward, how do we make this, you know, utilizing not only currency that we use today, dollars and cents, but how does this translate into points programs? You've got a lot of banks out there today of all different sizes that are looking to burn their points because they're liability on the books. You've got credit card companies that are doing it. You've got airline companies. We can go down the list. How do we make those things easier, and how do we bring those to market? We see there's an enormous amount of opportunity in those spaces to drive new solutions, because again, having the mobile app all of a sudden opens the door a lot of things. Again, that's the front end, the consumer facing piece, but we enable the back end of that. Then you look at things like push payments that we believe are going to continue to start to emerge. With, you know, you've got different providers out there today. I think opens the door for a whole nother segment of the industry, because as we look at the younger demographic, we're finding, you know, those folks today may not even be carrying a credit card. They may have a debit account, but they're also pushing money to each other with the apps. And that's an area we see that needs to move into the C to B space. We're seeing some of that today in the insurance space, for paying quicker of claims, for, you know, hurricanes and those types of events that happen, so the consumer can get their money faster. We see this being able to move clearly to the point of sale, and we think that there's going to be enormous amounts of appetite for that, both on the merchant side as well as the consumer side.
Yes, it's also interesting to note that mobile device has taken on a much more important role in some Asian markets. Mercator's research on report Asian Mobile Payment Apps, A Way of Life, took a look at the massive mobile payment volume in Asia, $3 trillion across Alipay, WeChat Pay, and PayTM, contrasted with 160 million in mobile transactions in the U.S. So the Asian market has a huge leap on us. And then you consider that the visitors to the U.S. from China are expected to reach 4.5 million per year by 2022. So could you tell us a little bit about how you perceive merchants might approach the Asian mobile payment app, and, you know, should they be deploying it?
Absolutely. This is a space that we play in and have actually enabled. You hit on some of the key points. You're seeing a lot more international travelers. This is definitely, you know, I guess, you know, new technology definitely helps out. If we look at what's happened in Asia, we're all dealing with older technology here. But we are very, very much a supporter of this space. We're enabling, you know, those payment types today. We also see that this is going, you know, alternative payments is sort of a broad term in my book, is that it doesn't just, you know, fall to the Chinese marketplace. It's what's going on in the U.S. as well. I touched on some of it briefly with how do we bring new solutions to market. But you've got, you know, FIs out in the space today with their mobile payment apps. You know, in again, we're still seeing a lot of the traditional network plays in there. But, you know, it's how do we bring this to market faster, make it easier for the merchant? We recently did this for a merchant here in the U.S. And actually took an integration in less than 6 months from, concept to deployment. I think that merchants have to look at this space for several reasons. One, you have to be able to play in it because it's going to impact your business. The second thing is if you sit on the sidelines, you're going to forego a lot of learning. And, you cannot discount the learning. And when I say learning, it not only plays with what's transpiring in that third-party app, but it also can play in what's your app. What's the customer experience? How can I improve the customer experience? What's the interaction at the point of sale with my cashier? What does that need to look like? How do our returns handle? Today we are still in a card-based society here in the U.S., but that is shifting and will continue to shift more. It's much like on the push payments. You look at what's happened with the players in that space, and it's growing exponentially. So, again, very hot area for us. We're working with those folks to enable. We are enabling today, but we believe alternative payments is a much broader space than just than the Chinese market today.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of things that I can add here as well. I mean, I was struck by there's a Visa doc that gets put out where they're trying to push contactless, and it shows you the various contactless penetrations across the world. And literally, what they don't say on the map is that there's a big, gigantic black hole in the middle of the map, which is China and Southeast Asia in general, where contactless has taken off because there's been a complete end around done over there. We know how difficult contactless is and how finicky it is and how hardware dependent it is. Visa's got a mandate out there that everybody go in and be contactless by next year, and it's really roiling the marketplace quite a bit. And everybody will get there, but it's a lot of work. In China, they took a complete end around there. I totally agree with what Chris said about get in it now and do the learning, because Chris noted that we've introduced this at a major retailer in the U.S. And I will tell you, the biggest issue is that the consumer is 100 times more educated than the associate. The associate really has little grounding in this, getting them comfortable with the process of somebody coming in and showing the phone. I tried it at a store where I just showed up and tried to do it, and they were confused. They were like, yeah, you already gave your loyalty ID. Give us a form of payment. No, this is my form of payment. So kind of getting over that is going to be real interesting. I will tell you that the neat thing about the way we've done it in our approach is that there's a lot of behind-the-scenes complexity in these transactions. As you guys probably know, there's this whole what they call the user paying loop that interacts with the account holder and through their phone, and it can be very chatty. And retailer has the option to kind of try to go direct, but what we've done in our approach is that we've managed all that complexity behind the scenes. That has been very inviting to these retailers, just taking advantage of that pipe that exists, that wide pipe between themselves and Incom. There's been a little bit of learning out there, I think, in the marketplace by Starbucks. I think my impression of Starbucks is even the least technical person can get in there and is very comfortable with the app. I'm always surprised by the people in front of me who have that phone out and kind of understand what to do. I think that's the best thing for U.S. consumers, because I do believe, even though, the first target has to be for Asian consumers, this is coming widespread to the United States and soon.
Yeah, we at Mercator totally agree. In the old days with the card, top of wallet was achieved with muscle memory. You get the consumer to know where they put the card, where it is in their wallet or their purse, and then muscle memory takes over, and that's the card they're going to pull out over and over again for every purchase. And I think we're challenged to see that muscle memory work on a mobile phone. Things change so much from one store to the next in the way they execute it that it just confuses the customer. You're right. Starbucks has figured out how to do it.
I think, Tim, to that point too. You look at the mobile apps that are on the market today. And oddly enough, the most successful thus far have really been some of the retailers, with Starbucks and a few of the other folks out there. And I think, again, why do merchants need to get involved in this early, even if they're experimenting with different payment types? If there's the biggest thing that's going to drive consumer adoption is the value prop. If there is no value prop for the consumer, there is no usage. I think that if you look at the retailers out there today, they've got a consistent approach. They're using QR code. So I think it's the other piece that a merchant needs to decide is, how do I want to deploy this? And then on top of that, it's got to be easy at the point of sale and, again, hold the value. So I think those are the other key components that I would note on. Why do I want to be involved in this today? You know, consumers are still walking to my stores with plastic. Well, ultimately, the more you learn, the better you're going to be, because, you know, we are going digital. It won't be here tomorrow, but it will be here as we go forward.
Yeah, I just want to kind of add to one more thing about the way that we've done it and we've enabled it is this idea of using the pipe. You know, there's kind of two, in general, in-store approaches. There's kind of a smaller retailer approach where the consumer wants to pay with one of these Chinese payment vehicles, and the retailer presents the consumer with a barcode, and then that enables, or that initiates a transaction on the customer's phone, and the transaction is done completely on the customer's phone. That works well for a smaller merchant, you know, because really I think all they're interested in is getting paid. For a larger enterprise, that doesn't work too well because you don't really have any visibility to the transaction. So the approach that we've taken is the other methodology, where the barcode is generated on the app, and then there is a QR-based barcode 128-based initiated payment at the point of sale. And this is where it really gets into InComm's sweet spot, because that's the way InComm does transactions, through barcodes. I mean, that's the heritage of InComm, so it works out really nicely. And then we structure the transaction as a payment that has one request and one response. And it looks very much like any of their other payment tender methods. And then we manage all of that multi-part complexity behind the scenes and offer up just one response. Now, in the middle, the customer's phone may be contacted for verification, but all of that happens out of the earshot of the retailer, and the retailer is given a nice standard approach for implementation. And again, that's worked out really well. It's resonating, at least with the InComm current retail partner space.
Yeah, consistency is always a good thing, right? Keeping it aligned with the way things are currently done helps the merchant be able to get clerks trained and be able to get the consumer through the line. But perhaps you could give us some sense of how OLS, given that it's sitting in the middle of the transaction, is able to pull together things like basket-related data, be able to abstract between the merchant and the acquirer, take on compliance issues and the like, and add value to the merchant there.
The basket information is interesting. This brings a lot of things into play. One is the ability to handle very large messages, which we've been capable of doing from the jump. The second thing is just having the relationship of trust with the retailer, that you're not going to abuse the market basket information, and that you're using it for transaction purposes and not to cross-sell or commingle or anything along those lines. But there is a service that InComm offers called the Enhanced Payment Platform, which is a healthcare limited spend vehicle where you have catalogs that you can create, you know, Medicare catalogs or healthy living catalogs, and that'll go through, and we do the adjudication centrally, which we need a market basket for. That's been a very good program for us. The top tier of InComm retail partners, all the big names are on that, and that's those are transactions that we run and support here. We're the front end for NCOM on that transaction set. And now, there are retailers that are out there saying to us, like, hey, that enhanced payment platform that you have, is there anything intrinsically related to healthcare, or can I take that and do any type of adjudicated payment where I can kind of custom design my own program? And the answer is yes, and we've done that for a leading pharmacy chain, helped them put together a program of that nature. So it is a discipline that we're very good at, and we do think there's a lot of value there.
I think just to add on that, as we wrap up here, the opportunity, the beauty about OLS and our parent company, NCOM, is the value of the overall portfolio we can bring. We're on the payment side of the house. We bring in the payment services. We make it easier for the merchant. And then the portfolio of products and services that our parent has allows us to create new and broader solutions, which provide A, value for the consumer, which is always the key point, two, additional revenue streams for the merchant, and three, making it easy to deploy, faster deploy, and delivering results at the end of the game. So I think that's the other big piece here. The combo package between both NCOM and OLS provides a lot of value.